Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
In this audiocast number 30, I'm going to help you find peace, even in the political world. So sit back and...
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to a special Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week, I do not have a guest, and the reason is because I got to get some things off my chest. I just returned from a retreat that I led for a group of pilgrims in Tuscany in the Holy Land, and it was awesome. I stayed away from Twitter and a lot of social media and just posted basically food porn, you know, pictures of food and all the beautiful scenery and happy faces. And I tried not to get involved in all the politics, and especially in the midst of the contentious Kavanaugh hearing and all the debate and all the riots, protests, and mobs. I was so at peace. And then I come back and the shiitake hits the fan. And so that is why I don't want to have a guest this week. I'm just going to share with you some of the reasons why I lead retreats and pilgrimages, because I honestly think it is the solution to all of the nonsense that we're experiencing from the political world. So get ready for a deep dish discussion with me as I share with you ways to deal with all of the craziness that's coming from politics. So stick around for more Shoot the Shiitake and a deep dish discussion, my monologue with hopefully a message. We'll be back in just a moment. This special episode is brought to you by The Table Foundation, my nonprofit group which seeks to harvest the power of food to do good. And you can learn all about the Olive Mass that will celebrate food and bless the hands that make it and serve it. Basically, it's a mass to recognize, to encourage, and to bless all of those in the hospitality industry. And you can learn more at thetablefoundation.org. And I'll see you in Baltimore, Maryland on October 29th, 2018 at the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore City. Come hungry, you will be fed. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. And I know you are hopefully interested in all of the guests that I bring on, but hopefully just more than anything, the ability to get a different perspective on life and on how we live our faith, and also just how we deal with all of the craziness that we've been experiencing in our political world, in our world today, which is so filled with politics. And so let me just share with you some thoughts about coming home from my pilgrimage in Tuscany. So let me just explain first and foremost that when I lead these retreats and these trips and these pilgrimages, and I do about four of them a year, I travel extensively giving a lot of talks and presentations around the country and around the world, but there are at least four times a year when I lead groups to come with me to different parts of the world and to experience a pilgrimage or a retreat. And this was actually the first time that I had done this with a smaller group. Usually it's a bus full of people, but this time I took just 25 people, actually 23 people, and we went through Tuscany. And trust me, folks, I will do this again, so just stay tuned. So relax. But I led 23 people through Tuscany, Emilia-Romagna, and the Piedmont area. And these are all of these food capitals of Italy, which just happens to also be faith capitals as well. And the reason why we went to these places was so that we can experience God. And what was interesting about this trip was it was a small group of people, and every one of them said something to the effect of, while they were looking forward to this experience, it was like, you know, a week or a few days before, it was like all hell broke loose and they questioned whether or not they should even go on something like this. And then when they finally get there, they almost feel like all of the stresses kind of melt away. I encourage people to make sure that they are doing some sort of retreat or pilgrimage experience once a year. Now, granted, you're not always going to be able to go, you know, across the pond to do that, but to make an intentional time to get away and to just work on yourself. And that was kind of one of the messages that many of the people experienced while on this retreat. Now, granted, we're seeing some amazing things, and we were eating some delicious food and drinking some fantastic wine. But more importantly, those were all simply mediums or the ways that we were developing conversations. And you know that conversations lead to conversion. And just being in beautiful scenery and eating great food that is just kind of satisfying the body. And then, of course, having a casual drink. No one abused the alcohol, for goodness sake. So don't think that we're just a bunch of bougie boozies. But we basically just sat there with a glass of wine and we had some seriously deep conversations. And I'll have to admit, part of me is angry that I never have my recorder ready at all times, because we ask some serious, serious questions about the faith, about life, just about even the politics. And one thing that kept coming up was how they were challenged by the environment or the situations that they find themselves when they're back home. And what do I mean by that? Well, for them, life is busy. Life can sometimes suck. Life can be very confusing and perplexing, and more importantly, it's so easy to get caught up in the politics of it all. And so guess what? When we return for the second part of this deep dish discussion, I'm going to give you some ways to maneuver through the politics, even though I'm not perfect at it myself. This is advice that I kind of give to people because it sometimes, more than often or not, works on me. But what I want to do right now in this is just give people an invitation to do a pilgrimage and to do a retreat. Certainly, you're always invited and welcome. And I'd love to meet my listeners to come with me on a trip. And all you got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel or visit selectinternationaltours.com. But the reason why people get a sense of reconnectedness is because of, once again, the environment. So let me talk about real quick what you need to do. If you're going to be on a retreat or if you're going to try to do a pilgrimage, you've got to change your environment. And your change of environment has to, one, connect you to nature, connect you to beauty, and connect you to good people, and connect you to Christ. So when I say connect you to nature, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you can certainly do a retreat in the middle of a concrete jungle, like a city. I've done that before. But to connect you to nature is to connect you to the things that God made rather than the things that man made. And why is this important? Well, because God made you. You know, man had part, you know, your mom and dad had part in making you, but God made you out of nature, through his natural love, and out of nothing, really. And so a good retreat or a pilgrimage has to reconnect you to nature, which is why I take all these people on these amazing experiences, and they're seeing, you know, mountains, and they're seeing trees and lakes and ocean, but they're also just seeing what a lot of spiritual writers will say, God's cathedral, basically the world. They're seeing the world in a beautiful way. Now, to be connected to beauty requires man to collaborate with God. So one of their favorite scenes is the Tuscan view of like a vineyard and olive groves just planted perfectly in a row. And so you see these open fields when these beautiful lines of of vines or trees. And it's just like one of those things, again, that a lot of people take pictures of or they make paintings of that. And that's why being connected not just to nature, but being connected to beauty, because beauty requires man, humanity, to work with nature and to produce something. So one of the more beautiful things that they saw were the vineyards, which again was just a collaboration of man, and cathedrals, and these monasteries, and these amazing structures that man made with nature to not improve upon nature, but to almost complement and embellish it. You see, man has the ability to do amazing things when we work with nature. But when we go against nature, we create some serious ugliness. And so in order for a retreat or a pilgrimage to truly be something good and noble, it has to connect you to beauty. It has to connect you to nature. It has to connect you to good people. And so while you might want to just kind of go completely alone somewhere in this world and just sit in a hermitage, please know that people who are hermits and people who live in a cloistered lifestyle, they are still connected to good people, namely a community of other believers, as well as connected to, say, someone like a spiritual director. So on this occasion, I was their spiritual director. And while we gave them time to be alone, they were also in community with other people. And so if you really want to make a good pilgrimage, you can do it on your own, but you got to remember, you're never alone. You are connected to other people. And if you think that you're going to try to just go away and do something and you're going to be left alone, I'd be very careful, because that could actually lead you to being a recluse, to reclusivity rather than community. And then the fourth element that makes a good pilgrimage, and here's, you know, why I'm kind of giving you this, is because I do care about you people, and I know that the world is pretty screwed up right now, and the only way that you're going to reclaim any semblance of sanity and sanctity is if you do go on a pilgrimage, if you do go on a retreat. But the most important thing that you've got to connect to, other than beauty, nature, and good people, is you got to connect to Christ. You got to connect to Christ. Let me talk about that for just a moment. I know a woman who was going through some pretty difficult times, and you know, she just kind of came into my office and we just started talking a little bit. And she works for the church. She works for the Catholic Church in a position of, you know, leadership, and I'm keeping her anonymous. But she was explaining all of the struggles she's gone through. And then I kind of just asked her, you know, when was the last time she'd been on a retreat? It's been years. And gosh, sometimes I ask people, aren't you a little bit of a hypocrite if you don't go on a retreat, yet you encourage people to do so as well? You know, when you encourage people to get closer to Christ, but they themselves become so busy in their work that they're not doing it. I don't know. I just felt a little hypocritical of this person. But she admitted that she hadn't gone on a retreat in a while, but she did take a course on mindfulness. All right, here we go. I like mindfulness. So don't get me wrong, I think that it's a good thing, but come on, that's not the point of a retreat. Mindfulness is only the start of something that is way deeper than just paying attention. And unfortunately, mindfulness can sometimes lead to more selfish objects in your quote-unquote meditation. If you are truly doing a retreat or a pilgrimage, it's not just about mindfulness. It's about focus. It's about focusing on Jesus Christ. And the reason why Christ becomes the object of our meditation and our mindfulness is because sometimes people think that retreat is all about navel gazing and just looking at my own belly button and looking at my own life. And that's fine. You need to take some time to do that. We do it every night. It's called an examination of conscience. But true retreats and true pilgrimages are supposed to connect you to the person of Jesus Christ. And you ask yourself, how do you do that? Well, the church gives us four beautiful ways that you can get connected to Jesus. And one is through other people, certainly, through the priest, the priesthood, through the Word of God. But most importantly and most accurately, you get connected to Jesus through the Eucharist, which is food. which is why we receive Christ, that living bread, come down from heaven, and that becomes our focus. I'll tell you, we didn't take a lot of time and do, say, adoration and such like that, but we received the Eucharist every day, and we gave people the opportunity to get to know the Eucharist through these little classes or lessons that I would lead while we're on the bus from one location to the next. You know, I never want to force people to pray in a Eucharistic way. And that's why, you know, the invitation to just have Mass is a great thing. And adoration is certainly a part of someone's way to stay connected to Christ in the Eucharist. But the idea of, quote unquote, forcing people to pray in front of the Eucharist, that's a little hard to do on a pilgrimage slash retreat. So what I try to do is I try to make Mass very solemn, but also very practical for them, and also a way for them to better understand the Eucharist. I lead these talks in the retreats, these little discussions. So I'm just giving you basically a little tip on how to make sure that if you're doing a retreat, you're doing it the right way, that you're actually experiencing nature. You're experiencing beautiful things that God created, but also humanity has created. So like find a church or a monastery, find a place, a chapel where you can just kind of stay connected to God. And then of course, you got to stay connected to each other, which is why I encourage people to make sure that if they are doing a retreat, that they're not doing it completely alone. We have something called self-directed retreats, which are great, but even then, you have to be connected to, like a confessor, to somebody else who's going to help you along the way. You know, we can certainly try to lead ourselves out of our problems, but I'll be honest with you, it was us in the first place who put ourselves in that problem, so why don't we try to get a guide to help us out of our blindness? And then, of course, the fourth but most essential quality to a good retreat is that it's got to connect us more to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is present through his people, through the sacred priesthood, through his word, the Bible, and then, of course, in the Eucharist. So a good retreat has to have all of those elements, which is exactly what we did, which is why people felt this tremendous peace when they were there. Literally, people just said, you know what? I could just stay here for the rest of my life, because it was at that moment they were connected to all of the things that lead to peace. But then, guess what? The retreat ends. Dun, dun, dun. And we got to go back to the quote unquote reality, which is kind of an offensive way of looking at things. They're making it seem as if retreats isn't a reality. A pilgrimage is not reality, when in fact it is. And that's why when we come back, I'm going to enter into a deep dish discussion with you to help you to be a pilgrim even when you have to return home and deal with one of the most divisive things out there right now, and that is politics. So guess what? When we return, you're going to hear my opinion about politics. So stick around for more Shoot the Shiitake as I shoot it with you, and we'll be back in just a moment. This week for our premium subscribers, we're going to hear all about youth ministry. Joel Stepanek from the Life Team program will be joining us and sharing his conversation with all of our premium subscribers. That is people who donate $10 or more each month. And especially in light of the recent synod on the youth, this may be a great opportunity for you and your parish to learn about what makes a good youth ministry program. So you can learn more and become part of the premium subscribers just by going to shootthesheetake.com or fatherleofeeds.com/listen and donate $10 or more each month for premium content delivered right to you. And this week, the Life Team program and Joel Stepanek. And welcome back for this deep dish discussion with me as I shoot the shiitake with you. And we're just going to jump right into it. So after my pilgrimage, beautiful Tuscany, and I just gave you in that first half ways to make sure that you're doing a retreat or a pilgrimage well, All right. You come back to reality, and they always call it coming off a mountaintop. So instead of looking at the beauty from above, you have to enter into the bull crap that's below. And that's how people feel. Sorry for my crass language, but I could have said worse. All right. Let me kind of preface this way. You know that I am on Twitter, social media, and Facebook and Instagram. And you can follow me at Father Leo Feeds. And sometimes I can get into the politics of it all. Now, people can probably try to figure out what my politics or political affiliation is, but they'll be very wrong. They will be very, very wrong. I am sometimes accused of as being a Trump supporter, or by some people, they might actually see me as a liberal rather than a conservative. And so I gotta tell you that if politics defines you, you need to stop doing that. So the first thing that I kind of want to recommend to people when I kind of engage in politics is to understand that political party, polis, the party of the people, is never a way to identify yourself. If you create an identity because you're a staunch Republican or you're just a true Democrat, you are part of the problem. I mean, I hate to say it, but you are literally part of the problem. We have sometimes created a religion out of our political party. And the fact is, we call it a party, not because it's a celebration, but because it's only part of a bigger reality. It's only a part. And I think people forget that politics and political parties only have a partial part understanding of the truth. And so if you are one of these people who are so extreme that you are always going to vote Democrat or always are going to vote Republican no matter what, then you're part of the problem as to why our world is so divided, because we have just kind of lost an identity of the universality of politics in general. You know, the word politics is it kind of comes from polis, which means people. We forget that even though someone may disagree with us, they are still people. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because as soon as I got back to the United States, by this point, one of the most contentious Supreme Court justices, Justice Kavanaugh, was confirmed and sworn in into office after a whole movement of people were just going literally berserk. They were losing their mind. I mean, people were literally banging on the door of the Supreme Court. Have you ever watched any of these people kind of just spout off opinions and they really don't know what they're talking about? It's kind of comical. And I'm just going to apologize now, because I kind of take pleasure in watching people look like dumb idiots on TV. Now, granted, people will say that I look pretty idiotic on TV too with my TV show. That's a different story altogether. That's scripted to a degree, and that's edited to kind of help me look less idiotic. But when people are talking about an opinion, and so let me just kind of organize my thoughts here. Number one, when we talk about political party, we have to remember it's only a part. It's a part of the reality. We have to see that politics is rooted in the word polis, people. If we are starting to treat people who do not share our political party other than people, then that's a problem. You know, and so the second kind of point that I want to make has to do with how we have discussions with people who are different from us. We need to stop name calling. We just need to stop name calling. I mean, that's all there is to it. Now, granted that there are going to be some people who like being called a true conservative or a true liberal. They're going to like that. But man, you know what? We can't define ourselves that way. And so if we're going to try to maneuver and find peace in our world, it really is going to require us to make sure that we understand how to speak about politics. I will be the first to admit, and I will also include an apology, that when I talk about politics on social media, the true sentiment doesn't always come out the way I want it to. I'm also a little snarky when it comes to tweeting about politics. And, you know, snarky, which also means sardonic and sarcastic. So some people get very offended by my tweets. In fact, one got really angry with me. This person was a listener and a subscriber because they followed me after hearing one of my talks at a Steubenville conference. And they thought, oh, you're just such a positive person and you try to connect people and bring people around the dinner table through food. And that's all great. But then I started talking about these mobs that are coming out there and I kind of made fun of them, you know, because they had this big cannon squirt on them and they were all upset because people were upset that I thought it was Antifa. That's what it was kind of presented as. It was now seen as a Venezuelan protest. But my comment on Twitter was, if these are mobs and they're getting hosed down by the government, and I know that they're mobs because they have actually literally face masks on, you know, they don't want to be seen, then they kind of deserve it. And I kind of, laughed about it. And this person, kind of sensitive, to be honest with you, kind of sensitive, just said, I can't believe that you're so disingenuous and you are just a Trump supporter. I said nothing about Trump. I said not a lick about Trump, not even thought about it. My whole intention was just to say, if you've got masks on and you are disrupting traffic, you know, literally these people are self-appointed blocking traffic. They're literally, you know, kicking women and cell phones out of their hands just because they're trying to engage in conversation. If you've got a mask on and you are causing and inciting violence, you kind of deserve to have pepper spray in your face. You kind of deserve it. Now, I think people are just going to hate me for saying this, but disciplining a group of people like that deserve it. Why? Because we sometimes need a strong voice to combat the strong rhetoric that certainly comes from both sides of the aisle. I get it. But if we are so sensitive or we are so belligerent in the way we talk and we're not actually willing to listen and to even have a little bit of a sense of humor about it, they accuse me, as this person on Twitter accused me, of inciting or at least supporting violence. I'm like, you kidding me? I'm not trying to incite violence whatsoever. These people have inflicted violence on themselves by standing in front of a water cannon, and they look silly doing it. And did I kind of laugh about that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I will apologize if that offends you, but it's just funny when somebody tries to incite violence and it just kind of returns on them. It's almost like divine justice, which also has a little bit of an element of divine comedy to it. Do I take pleasure in that? Yes, sometimes I do. I will admit, sometimes when I see bullies get what they deserve, I kind of enjoy that. Now, I shouldn't. But there is a human side of me, and people are like, you're a priest. You shouldn't even think these thoughts. Well, come on. Let's kind of grow up here. Priests are pretty human too. And if I was inciting violence in any way, please let me know, but I'm not. I'm just letting people know that some of the things that people do when they incite violence themselves and it gets returned to them, divine comedy and divine justice, in my opinion. But my point is, when we have conversations with people who disagree with us, it has got to be a little bit more civil. And it can't be all about just citing facts, but really talking about how you feel about something. You know, I had a conversation with someone in my community recently, and we are complete opposites when it comes to politics, even though we belong to the same political party. I'm just kind of leaving you hanging here as to what political affiliation I am, because frankly, it really shouldn't matter whatsoever. I have my reasons for being one party over the other, and we were in this conversation, and it was kind of funny because they were using these facts and these terms. This person was using facts and terms and citing statistics, and I just have to say, you know, as much as I appreciate your statistics and polls, these are the same people who produced the statistics and polls that said that Hillary Clinton was going to win the 2016 election by a large margin, and she, in fact, lost by a significant margin, you know, from the Electoral College, of course, and not by the number of individual votes. But that's just how our country operates, by the Electoral College. And so it's easy to manipulate the data. And that's why I don't think that's a good place to start. We should get factual at some point. But what we should do is, first of all, when you're starting to talk about politics, talk about the core beliefs and what is it that you are looking for. Because I think ultimately in politics, we're all looking for the same thing. We're looking for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then what we've got to do from there is stop rushing to conclusions, but maybe slowly engage the process. How can this be done? Because frankly, when we talk about politics, we're talking about things that are way above our pay grade. We will never be able to make a difference. You know, everyone says, oh, your every vote makes a difference. Yeah, but remember, there's an electoral college too. I could vote one way in a state that's completely Democratic or completely Republican, and your one vote isn't going to work. So let's make sure that when we are having a discussion about politics, that we don't shoot so big and focus on very specific problems, but rather let's engage what we are specifically looking for. When people say, oh, Trump or this president, Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or George Bush, both of them should have been impeached, and I know that there was movements in all of those areas trying to impeach one or the other, that's kind of out of our league. It just kind of is out of our league. Let's talk a little bit more locally. Every politician will say the best way to get involved in politics is locally. And that's why I say when we start talking about political problems, let's focus on the small things first. Let's focus on what we are hoping for, and let's come to some agreement on that. So when it comes to things like, you know, medical insurance for everybody, I don't think that there's any one person who doesn't want people to have medical support when they're in need. And so if we can agree to that, then we can take the next step. What are the things that need to be provided for in a good healthcare plan? And that's where we can very specifically kind of be able to solve those problems. But we go for the big problems that we can't really control. And that's where we find ourselves so frustrated, because we're never going to be able to make a difference because it's too big of a problem. But if we are able on one level, keep the peace, talk a little bit more emotionless, and while we want to share how we feel about something, let's be very concrete in what it is that we're hoping for. Step by step, we'll be able to get to those bigger problems. And that's why, again, talking more locally, more specifically, more intentionally and peacefully, that's a way to maneuver through the problems. Again, people focus too much on the big issues, whether Kavanaugh can be confirmed or not. I'm sorry, your protest isn't going to make a difference. What we should be talking about is how do we protect, you know, women and men from sexual aggression? That kind of connects us. And so even in talking to my friend about, you know, my institute member and brother in Christ about these big issues, we were finding ourselves frustrated because we were kind of taking on topics that were way beyond our control and, again, way above our pay grade. So we just kind of found ourselves agreeing on a lot more things because we're sane, which is the third thing that I want to talk about, sanity. You know, please know that when we talk with irrational people, it is in a way a form of our own irrationality. We are not going to change anybody's mind. We're just not. If they're truly irrational, confused individuals, we are never going to be able to say anything that's going to change their mind. So I think what we've got to do is not talk about the things that are making them irrational. People literally have made politics into a religion. And that's not rational. Again, you can't define yourself by a party because you're only partially correct. We can't talk about the things that are so big that we could talk all we want. We're not going to make an ounce of a difference. We really won't. But we can talk about things more locally and how it affects us personally. I mean, I think both sides, Republicans and Democrats, they don't want people to abuse the other person and get away with it. So let's talk about those things. How can we do that locally and on our own? But let's also talk rationally. And I just think that there are so many people who are irrational these days, in part because media does have something to do with it. They literally constantly feeding people with just lies after lies, or at least a version of the truth, which isn't the full version of the truth, which therefore is partially a lie. Yikes, this is a problem because people are becoming literally products of irrational information. And therefore, if we are going to make any headway in politics and try to understand how to find, peace through all of this, let's become a little bit more rational. Let's, if we really want to make a difference, instead of talking about this president said this or this congressperson said that, let's actually get a copy of the speech itself and let's actually be disciplined and let's talk about that. But by putting everything all together in this hodgepodge of just a created mess, we literally become irrational. We have to approach politics the way somebody takes 1,000 pieces of a puzzle and puts it together in order to get the more rational picture of the reality that we're trying to find. But what's happening right now is we're literally taking a piece of the puzzle and throwing at people one piece at a time and then taking it back and then throwing at them. And we don't even have enough time to actually look at that piece and find out, how does this fit together in my worldview and my personal view? How do I actually put these pieces together? And so I think part of rationality requires a process of discernment, requires a process that includes patience and some time to think and digest. And yes, to a degree, trial and error. Like if you have a piece of the puzzle and you thought it goes here, but it actually, on second thought, goes here. That is a rational approach. But we are not rational anymore. We're literally just taking the pieces and trying to shove them all together. Even if they don't fit, we find scissors and make them fit. And that's why what we have at the end of a conversation is a bloody mess. We've got to approach our conversations about politics much more rationally. So all I did was I just gave you 3 points here and how to deal with politics. And then in my little carryout order, I'm going to share with you what I need to do, because I'm going to re-listen to this and I'm hopefully going to learn something from what I preach to myself on how to find peace, even in a political world. But to summarize, remember that a political party should not define you, because it's only part of the reality. 2, let's not try to tackle the most humongous, biggest problems, but let's deal with things a little bit more locally, a little bit more personally, one step at a time. And then 3, let's approach conversations a little bit more rationally. Let's actually take one topic at a time, investigate the heaven into it, and see how that fits into a bigger picture and a bigger reality. So when we return, I'm going to give you a carryout order, basically my carryout order, what I'm going to do to try to be more peaceful after this awesomely peaceful pilgrimage, and then jumping right back into the political world. We'll be back in just a moment. If you want to join me on one of my 4 trips in the 2019 calendar year, you can simply go to fatherleofeeds.com/travel or call selectinternationaltours.com at 800-842-4842. I'll be going to Malta, the Amalfi Coast, and the island of Sicily. That's in one trip in May. In June, I'll be going to Croatia. In October, I will be going to the Holy Land with singer-songwriter Steve Angrisano. And in November, I'm going to be making a return to the Danube River for an incredible tour from Prague to Budapest, Hungary. So again, you can learn more by calling 800-842-4842 or visit fatherleofeeds.com/travel. And welcome back for my carryout order after listening to myself preach. So, you know, oftentimes people ask, or they'll say something like, you know, when you gave that homily or when you gave that talk, I thought you were talking right to me. And as much as I'd love to be that charitable, and really have them in mind when I'm giving this talk, sorry, folks, I was actually thinking of me. In other words, I kind of preach to myself, and that's the carryout order for me. I've got to do a much better job of making sure that every day I have a little pilgrimage or retreat experience. Now, I'm real fortunate. I actually created a little chapel in my home. I converted a bathroom. I switched a bathroom with a closet, and the closet was somehow bigger than my bathroom, so I just cut the closet in half because, frankly, I don't have that much clothes or anything like that. I got some baggage, but that's another story. And I wear a lot of black, so I didn't need as large of a closet. And I kind of broke through the other end of the wall, and I created a little private area. And in that private area, I do have nature. I've got a rock wall, okay? I do have beauty because that rock wall was made by man, and it kind of reminds me of a CZ. And it does connect me to people. And why? Because I have a prayer list of people that I offer intentions for throughout that's kind of like right next to my chair for prayer. And it does connect me to Jesus directly in the Eucharist because with the permission of the Archbishop of Baltimore and with the approval of my own superior or director for my community, I have the Eucharist in reservation in my little chapel. So guess what I got to do? I got to make a retreat and a pilgrimage every day. We cannot think that we are going to be spiritually healthy because I took a retreat once years ago, like this one woman who came to me expressing her problems. It has been years since she had been on a retreat. And the only kind of thing that she did was she took a mindfulness class, which really was more about navel gazing than actual meditation. And again, I love mindfulness, but it has some serious limitations. And therefore, what we've got to do is find opportunities that connects us to beauty, connects us to nature, connects us to good people, and more importantly, connects me to Christ. And that's why we cannot limit our pilgrimage experiences just to once a year. But I tell all my pilgrims, as soon as you come home, that's when the pilgrimage really begins. Because you got to try to find God in the midst of chaos, including the chaos created by politics. And that's why, you know, for my carryout order, I'm just reflecting on how I can be more peaceful. And the way I do that is, one, by making sure that my political party does not define me. And while I have a political party identification, I don't always vote a straight ticket. I look more at the issues that are involved. And if I am not as informed with the issues, then I kind of just go for what I believe I've heard that person say about the issues that I care about most, and I agree with them, and that's a person I'll vote for, whether they're Republican or Democrat. I try to make sure, again, that my politics do not define me. It's not a religion. Two, that I really don't try to handle the biggest issues, but I try to learn the more pressing issues that affect me. And the third thing I try to do is become rational, which requires me to actually, ready for this, folks? Pray about my politics. Did you hear that? We have to pray about our politics. I don't think we do that enough. I really don't. I think that if every politician actually did pray a little bit more about what they believed and what they know is to be true, God would give us some deeper inspiration to understand not just one side of the story, but the other side of the story. And let's just take abortion as a case in point, because you know what? That is a big issue. Will we change that? Will we change Roe versus Wade? Maybe, maybe not. But between now and then, that is way out of my league. But here's what I can do. On the local level, I can support organizations that support women who are struggling with their pregnancy. You see, the women's issue, for example, is a great case in point. We're trying to tackle the biggest problems when we really should just be dealing with the problems individually. You know, we want to try to get the whole picture of the puzzle, but we wouldn't even want to take a look at the piece of the puzzle well. And abortion is really about caring for women, but also caring for the life of the child, you know, the rights of that child. And so what do we need to do and what can we do is we need to kind of look at this more and see that if someone is quote-unquote pro-choice, they're not the evil ones. I do believe that there are people on the pro-choice side that are truly collaborating with evil. Some of them happen to be the people who are promoting abortion on demand. But between now and the time that we get rid of all of that, can we at least come to an understanding that pro-life people also have to work to make sure that women who are in difficult pregnancy situations do have the choice not to have an abortion, but to have a viable choice for like adoption and also to have people to provide finances to care for them because pregnancies are expensive. And caring for children, if they choose to carry that child to term and raise that child, that's going to take some serious support. So what do I need to do is support those organizations that care not just to end abortion, but that also really show true positive care for women. And I'm grateful to know that many, if not all, of the pro-choice women's health organizations do that. And what we need to do is have that dialogue with those groups that just simply want to make abortion the quick fix. You know, and so I have to approach this a little bit more rationally and make sure that the things that I do that are politically motivated are things that I also pray about. Why? Because God is the most rational being that we have an ability to communicate with. I'm not going to always have rational conversations with people on the other side of the political aisle. That's all there is to it. But should I talk to God about the tweets that I'm going to be putting out? Yeah. And should I even ask forgiveness for some of them? You better believe it. You better believe it. And God has convicted me in some of those cases. And so, you know, this is a real simple three-point kind of process to help you to find peace in all of this. Be humble enough to know that you don't have the whole truth. You're only in a political party part of the truth, that you shouldn't be tackling the humongous issues, but go for the smaller ones first. And let's try to make some headway in that. And then, of course, rationality and all the things that go with it. Make sure that we know both sides to the story and that, more importantly, we know what God would say about it in prayer. And when we can do that, I guarantee you, you might find the peace that you're looking for. And you can still, even in a very political, ugly world, feel like you are on a retreat or on a pilgrimage. And we all know that if a pilgrim is looking for God, they will find God. And so when we return next week for more Shoot the Shiitake, I'll be back with a guest. Don't you worry. And it'll be an exciting one for sure. But between now and then, I just wanted to share a little bit of what I'm going through. And I hope that in shooting the shiitake with you, you will respond and let me know what you think of the show. And please email me. Certainly you can even disagree with me, but also send me the topics that you would like me to discuss and even perhaps some potential guests. You could always do that at Father Leo, spelled out, at fatherleofeeds.com. And between now and then, I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. I hope that it does lead to a conversion. And more importantly, between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake, brought to you by thetablefoundation.org, where we are harvesting the power of food to do good. And if you want to get the Olive Mass in your diocese or in your city and state, please reach out to us at thetablefoundation.org. And between now and then, while you enjoyed this episode, please support us either by being a premium subscriber at $10 or more each month, where you will get more content delivered right to your inbox, but also share this show with family, friends, and parishioners and encourage them to subscribe on their favorite podcast platform. And you can encourage all of that just by having them visit fatherleofeeds.com/listen or shootthesheitake.com.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.